Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
I'd say 30%. 30%.
What about
before before Nixon, it was probably higher than that. But
Nixon,
since then, it's been all downhill. I don't know, mostly downhill. Nixon, mostly downhill.
Nixon's like a curse.
Yeah, that is really weird.
He gave us the Bushes twice.
That's, oh God, I know. And then you got Gerald Ford, which that guy had about as much charisma as a Hershey bar. You know, he only lasted a couple of years before they ousted him. Carter came in. That guy's weak and pathetic. Just not strong enough for that office. Although, you know, he's doing good now. He's fighting that cancer. He's fighting the good fight. I mean, goddamn, you're 92, though. It's like, Jesus Christ. At some point, you have to
succumb. Jimmy Carter from Georgia.
Yeah, he's doing big things, man. He's over there helping people out in Africa, trying to cure diseases. I mean, that's... Can't ask for much more of that guy. He made the most of it, at least. What's George W. doing? He's out there fucking painting horses and shit. You fool me, you can't fool me again.
I guarantee you, his wife, Laura, I swear, she has that look like, I'm tired of your shit, W. Just, I am tired of your shit, W.
That would be amazing to see some of the conversations that they have as couples. Not even just them, but just like political couples where the wife is just, you know, she's on the sidelines. But you know there's some times where behind the scenes she is fucking tearing in to the current and or former president. You know, just fucking tearing into him, telling him how much of a goddamn idiot he is and how could he be so stupid and going off. You know it has to happen every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Michelle, fuck, if she flexes, man, she's kind of scary, you know? Obama's like, all right, I ain't fucking,
I thought you
I
liked
fucking
women,
with this.
I thought you liked women that are in shape.
I do, but that doesn't mean I'm not a little scared of them.
God, you're...
Maybe that's what I like. It's kind of exciting, you know? If they could kick my ass, it's like, oh, okay, I better watch...
Yeah, and you're calling Jimmy Carter weak.
I better watch myself. I posted up on Facebook. I read a stat, actually. The average American woman now weighs the exact same weight as me. At least when I saw that that statistic, I think I've gained 2 pounds since then. But so there, I'm actually back above them. Luckily, I've been drinking a lot of fucking protein shakes. You know, man. You know, just fucking getting jacked at the gym.
Yeah,
just getting jacked and tan.
What are you benching now? 185. 185.
Very funny, Mr. Rashad. No, I got up. What was it? Fucking. It was not two. It wasn't 225. It was 215. I did 215. Five times.
I did 225, 25 times.
Dude, that's 140% of my fucking body weight, all right? How much did you do? What's your max, probably? What could you do with 3 reps?
I can probably do 3 reps of 315.
315?
Yeah.
So that's like probably 110% of your body weight? 140, motherfucker. All right. Fucking shut your mouth. No, that's good, man. That's some big weight, dude. You get 245 plates on there, and that shit'll take your head off if you drop that motherfucker on you. That is no joke. It's crazy seeing those NFL players hoist that shit, though. Like, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's Lincoln Logs.
The offensive and defensive linemen.
Oh, my God. I know those guys could just shove you over. With a flick of their wrist, essentially. Just put me on my ass.
Yeah. All right. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an episode of An Earful in the Emerald City. You are listening right now. I am Shoddy, and across from me is Slim, not Shady, not Shoddy, not Jesus, just Slim.
I'm slightly all those things, but not completely one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome to the program, and We gotta we're gonna make it short but sweet. Short but sweet. We're gonna talk
our famous line.
We're gonna make short. Yeah, yeah. Slim knows about being. He knows all about being short.
I know
short
about things. Hey, sweet. Hey, come on now.
Just short. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're gonna talk about Charles Kinsey, the behavioral therapist in Miami, when he accidentally got shot in the leg by that Miami police officer. We are also going to talk about Slim's favorite moment with Ken Griffey Jr., the now
the kid,
the Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Ken Griffey Jr.
HOF.
HOF. What else we're going to talk about?
You sucking dicks, like you always
me
like to do.
Sucking
dicks, boats and hoes.
I got these cheeseburgers.
Let's get into this. Let's get into this, Griffey, man, because you just brought it up, and let's get into it. Whatever the fuck we talk about, what are we talking about? But the kid, man, actually, it's funny. I just realized it now. I have some friends on Facebook who are making a cross-country trip, and they're over at Cooperstown, and just realized why. They're over there celebrating for the kid. But, oh, man, Griffey... God, I'll tell you my least favorite moment first off, and that's when that motherfucker headed out to Cincinnati. The complete everything of this city sports wise can just it all got flipped upside down.
And really,
no one knew what the hell to deal with.
Well,
he was a fucking star, man. He was killing it when he was here. He had this season. He had one of those seasons, like two years before he left. He had like 51 or 52 home runs. I mean, the guy was just knocking them out of the park. He had a ton of RBIs too, like 100 RBIs. Oh, that's why you get almost unanimous. You know, that's you got to be a fucking prodigy. And I was telling you earlier, he's got the gold gloves too.
I think because of Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, he kind of disappeared in that home run race in 98. Because I remember it was between. Sammy and Mark were going back to back with just leading with each other, and then Ken Griffey was third. He was third in the league, but fucking Mark and Sam were hitting like two a game, and they just left Griffey in the dust. And I felt sorry for Ken, man. At the time, I felt sorry for Griffey because we all know what Mark and Sammy were doing to hit all those home runs, and we got Griffey the pure natural.
You think there's no way he got into any of that shit?
No, man. No.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I mean, you look at like Barry Bonds and that guy, like he started his career and he was tiny. He was tiny. He probably weighed like 195. And then later on in his career, he gets a little older, a little slower, and he just packs the pounds on and just bulks up. And he was probably like, goddamn, he probably had to be like 240 or something, 250. And he was just yoked, just straight up. Guess that's how you hit 70 fucking home runs. Goddamn cheater.
Yep. He is.
I say you just make steroids legal. Just have them all juiced to the fucking gills. Just have them all juiced up, and they'll be knocking the thing into the next goddamn county. People will love it. They'll
you
go
know,
nuts.
You know my favorite memory with
baseball Kimberly. Will finally be exciting again.
Don't be like Bryce Harper. Anyway. You know my favorite memory of Ken Griffey Jr. is? Hi, I'm Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play Major League Baseball on Super Nintendo.
Oh, man. God, that game, it was so easy to just get a team that was so stacked. Just so stacked. Everybody was like a 9 or a 10 hitter. They had that gigantic circle.
Yeah.
That was a good-ass game, dude. I had a perfect season going for a while. It's hard to play that many fucking games, though.
They had 162 seasons. On the Super Nintendo games?
They had 162 games, yeah. You could play. I only was able to play a whole season like twice because I had to do like bang out two or three games a day. And I had a perfect record, so because my team like my lineup was so stacked, I didn't trust a computer to keep that shit going, you know? I had to play every game out myself. They would have blown it for me eventually. But God, you got Ken with that big circle and you're just knocking those things out of the park. I had like 80,
I love the way
80 home runs on the year.
I love the eight Jesus. I love the way how he knew it was Homer. He would take those wide two walks, two steps, and he's like, boom, and then he would jog. I'm like, what a G.
Shaking that big old ass of his, you know?
Yeah.
From side to side. Oh, yeah, and he just knew it. He just knew it. He just
fucking knew it.
I like seeing him out in the outfield, though, man. Guy was always out there just wrangling balls down, nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide.
Would you call Ken Griffey Jr. in the best overall player in Major League Baseball in the 90s?
Yeah, I'd say I think he was. Everybody, there was people that were a little bit brighter and maybe had a little bit better years than him from time to time, but for a 5 to 7 year period in the 90s, yeah, he was the man. Every year he was hitting 40 home runs, banging in 80 RBIs, hitting probably around 295 somewhere in there for the season. So yeah, he was consistent, and before he left, man, the guy got it done. The guy's a champ. So, and you know, when I was a little kid, and you looked up to people like that. I mean, it's when you can see talent that's that incredible. And again, that's where the almost unanimous Hall of Fame vote comes in. So, congratulations for you, kid. Yeah, good kid. You did good, kid. You got in. You deserved it.
Okay, the question we were talking about it earlier before we started the show. Do you think that Edgar Martinez should get his call in the Hall?
Here's my deal on the Hall of Fame. And this goes for every sport. This goes for rock and roll. This goes for all of it. There's only one Hall of Fame. And over time, it's going to eventually get pretty crowded. I mean, as the years pass, you look at baseball, it's been around for like 100 years. You get a lot of big names, a lot of people putting up good stats, a lot of people that fucking brought it night in and night out. And when you're dealing with a Hall of Fame induction, you got to think not only for their era when they were playing, but you got to think how this person is going to stack up all time for the entire eternity of that, whatever that game is, or whatever that sport is, or whatever that artistic thing is. You got to think for all time. Where are they going to stack? Are they going to be in the truly elite? And I mean, when you look at it like that, I don't think. I love Edgar. He's a good guy. He's one of the best hitters in history, probably, you know, consistency wise, but he wasn't playing in the field, and I just don't think you put him in that eternal bracket of top-notch players to be remembered for that sport. I don't think he's achieved that level.
So you don't think any designated hitter could get in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I don't know. Did you hit 40 home runs for 10 years? Did you have over 90 RBIs for 10 years? Did you hit 297 for your career? I mean, yeah, maybe. It's possible, but again, there's a lot of people out there that could swing that fucking bat, and he did it well, but he played his role well for our team. I mean, if you're looking at Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame, yeah, he'll be remembered forever as far as the Mariners organization goes. You know, he's one of the greatest hitters we've ever had, no question. For the entire league, like I said, man, Hall of Fame, you have to be beyond your generation of athletes. You got to be beyond that to a level that's even higher than that. So I don't fuck around. No one gets in easily. I mean, Hall of Fame is no joke. So Pat Benatar, I don't know if she should have got in, man. I just don't know. She's not. I don't know if she's elite. But it's always a fun conversation, though. I mean, everybody. There's no right or wrong answer, really. It's how do you feel?
But don't you think the Hall of Fame should also be for players who impacted the game? He was the first of his kind. He was the first of his kind, and because of that, you can just hit the ball well and not have to give a shit about playing defense.
Mm-hmm. And he did hit it well, man. And he was a clutch hitter too. He had a lot of I remember we had a lot of seasons where we're in two out situations down by a run or two, and he's coming up with a big double off the wall, and it's scoring a run or two, and we end up winning the game. So he was a clutch hitter too. I just, again, man, I don't take Hall of Fame lightly. Okay, you have to be just an incredible athlete to reach that level of Hall of Fame status.
So do you think Steph
Curry... It's the most elite of the most elite.
If Steph Curry continues to be known for what he's known for, and that's being a clutch shooter,
Wasn't a clutch shooter in Game 7. I hate to say it, Steph. I love you, kid, but I was far from clutch.
Overall,
especially when you airballed in the fourth quarter when your team was down by like 3 or 4 points.
Overall, clutch shooter, and we'll probably go down as one that... the greatest shooters of all time, like Edgar Martinez, is one of the greatest hitters of all time. Do you think Steph Curry, if he continues to play like that and continue to be known for that, you think someone like Steph Curry could miss the Hall of Fame?
If he doesn't keep playing like he is right now, like his last year, obviously MVP year, so, you know, obviously that's a big year. If he doesn't continue... Yeah, he could miss for sure. He could miss for sure. He's got a ring, which is big, and he's won the MVP, which is big, but that alone is not enough. That's not enough of a resume to get you in. A lot of players out there who played in the league, maybe won an MVP 1 year, they had an awesome year, helped their team out, won a championship that same year that they had that career year, and got those two things. But you got to come with more than that. He's got to put up at least another 4 or 5 big years. I mean, to make sure he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. And they got to. And again, he can't. The clutchness he's got to work on. I mean, that was an issue forever with LeBron, and apparently he's worked on it. And you know, he's evolved as a player, and he stepped up big this year. I mean, he led both teams in points, rebounds, and assists. I'm pretty sure, which are basically the most three most important categories, led both teams. So, I mean, if that's not clutch, then your car is an automatic. So, but yeah, I just don't take the Hall of Fame lightly, man. I think that's, I mean, and you said people that changed the game, and Edgar did. He kind of evolved the game. When I was trying out for my high school basketball team, I was like the cheerleader a lot of times because I was on the bench. I wasn't getting a lot of playing time. So I was like the cheerleader and I helped out, you know, kept everybody motivated, did my best, did what I could. But it just comes a point where even being the top cheerleader is not enough. And that's what happened to me when I went to high school. They were like,
cheerleaders don't put points like, on the board though.
Yeah, exactly. So they were like, sorry.
He put points on the board though. Steph Curry put points
did,
on the board.
He did, but Hall of Fame points on the board.
You're comparing apples and oranges.
I know it's a little convoluted, but fucking, I had a couple drinks, man. What the fuck do you want?
Oh man, okay. Last baseball question. You think Pete Rose should get in after every? Because at that time, gambling was like. I mean, I didn't remember, but my dad tells me they grilled his ass.
Mm-hmm.
They grilled his ass, and you know, they banned him. But you know, after steroids, drugs, when all that started breaking out in baseball, you know, does that seem small compared to everything that's happened?
First off, I want to say I was at a bar recently, watched some kind of episode of baseball highlights. Then they had the panel. And he was on the panel. Pete Rose was on the panel. We were just talking about the Men in Black. Pete Rose now looks... he's getting up there. I mean, he was Charlie Hustle at 41, 42 years old. But that was back in the early 80s. And he's getting up there now. He looks like the guy who's the farmer that ends up getting turned... that the bug...
oh, man.
Peels his skin and then covers himself. That's what Pete Rose was looking like. He was kind of scaring me. He was kind of scaring me. So... I don't know what's going on with that guy, but here's what I have to say about Pete Rose. Good question in on it, first off. Way to go. You know, you got the crescendo there. I say this is how you handle the Pete Rose situation. You don't let him in to the Hall of Fame. That's fucked up. You can't bet on your team. He said, oh, I always bet on them to win. First off, no, you didn't. You're probably fucking lying. You probably knew when you were coming into a stacked lineup and you had a shitty pitcher in that you knew was going to get shelled. You didn't. I guarantee you bet against your team a couple nights because you knew there was no way you guys were going to pull it off. So fuck you on that one. But what I will do is once Pete Rose dies, then we'll let him in.
That's a dick move.
No, that's not a dick move at all. He doesn't get any of the joy because he did something that was against the rules and was fucked up. But as far as history will remember him, they will remember him as a Hall of Famer. He just doesn't get any of that joy for himself. You know, that's his punishment, is he doesn't get to feel that joy of being in the Hall of Fame. He'll be, dude, whatever. It's your legacy that lives on, okay? You're gone. You're fucking worm food. That's it. You're ashes. Our time is all limited, and eventually we're going to be nothing, and everybody's going to forget us. But Pete Rose, he won't be forgotten. And, you know, memorialize him as a Hall of Famer. The guy definitely deserves to be in as far as the numbers go. I mean, you can't really argue that. I mean, he was kind of a D-bag, but Ty Cobb was too, so he still got in.
I think they should free Pete.
A free Pete?
Yeah, I think they should let him in.
Yeah, he's definitely suffered. There's no question about that. Guy's probably had a lot of rough nights in his life.
If Sammy Sosa can still get in, Mr. Powder, Sammy Sosa, yeah, that guy, kissing and peacing. They let someone like him in.
Fucking corked bat. God damn it.
I remember that.
He acted so surprised. That was funny. Let's get away from this. We're going to lose everybody if we keep talking about fucking baseball, the most boring sport in the world. I asked my buddies earlier. I was like, what would you guys do if you had a choice between Seattle Mariners season tickets or, and as soon as I said or, they go, Seahawks, definitely Seahawks. I was like, dude, it's 81 games if you had season tickets for the Mariners. You get 8 games with the Hawks. You get a couple of preseason, too. You get 2 preseason, I think. But it was unanimous because baseball is boring as fuck, and no one really cares about it. So that's why we're going to stop talking about it. But we got some other stuff to talk about, too, and you didn't even mention it to these people. And I think we need to get into, I hate to do it, we won't get stuck on it, but I think we need to tap on the political jargon that's going on at the moment here. You know, we won't get too fixated for you people out there, but
the DNC is crooked.
Is fucking up.
Fucking up.
They are fucking up.
I know
up.
You heard about the emails that got leaked by WikiLeaks. I know you heard about it. They were attacking my man Bernie Sanders about his religion. Oh boy, oh boy. And Miss Debbie Schultz, Debbie Westerman Schultz, just resigned as the head of the DNC. That is effective Tuesday, which means she's still going to be at the DNC on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, all right, we'll give you one night. We'll give you one night of the thing. You don't get to go to the whole thing.
But do you think this changed the delegate count between Clinton and Sanders?
If it didn't even at least change how some people felt about it, then they're fucked up and they have no clue what's going on. I mean, this is clear collusion. This is the definition of collusion. The media was in on it. The thing is, they're attacking his religion. They probably don't even give a fuck about his religion. They probably just say, oh, you know, this is something we can get him on and we can get the Christian base. You know, so maybe some of those Republicans who don't want to vote for Trump because he's crazy. Maybe we can get them to vote for us, you know, because they don't want to vote for a Jew. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? I ain't going to have no damn Jew running this country. This is America. This ain't Jew land.
That's
all right.
America.
This ain't Israelia, you know. This is America. That's probably what it was. It's just, like I said, it's clear collusion. These guys are, the fucking system is rigged, dude. The system is rigged, and we can't, I don't know why, but we cannot get a third party candidate here. I hate to say it, but Bernie kind of fucked himself on that one. You know, he ran as the Democrat, and now you can't do shit.
Gary Johnson.
God, that guy, I mean, I like his ideas and his policies. I definitely do. I think the libertarian way is much more reasonable these days. It's a very moderate view on a lot of these issues. You know, I don't want hard right or hard left. But the guy, like I said earlier, the guy has zero charisma. He has zero charisma. You listen to him talk and you want to fall asleep after about a minute and a half of listening to his voice. He has no passion at all. And it's like, I don't know if I trust somebody who is that, you know, these guys, they're spending too much. We want a smaller government, not a bit. He's just not fucking bringing it, man. You have to have that little extra something. And that's why Hillary paired up with Bill early, because she has no charisma at all. And she knew this saxophone playing fucking Slick Willie motherfucker. She knew he had it. And a surplus of it at that. So I'll give her some credit. She was smart to hitch her wagon to that mule there early on. But it's just fuck, man. I wish the FBI would have indicted Hillary. So even the DNC would have been like, oh, Hillary. Listen, Hillary, we appreciate all those contributions. Don't get us wrong. We appreciate them. But we gotta let you go. I mean, it looks bad. Wish they would have fucking done that. It's just, oh God. And then we're talking about the AP thing too, and they released that story right before the biggest available delegates primary in California, right before. Oh, Clinton already won. Oh, people in California don't even bother coming out to vote. You know, there's no point. Just stay at home.
Yeah.
Watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Don't bother voting. You don't need to be a part of that process. Hillary's already got it.
What kind of message is that saying for? That the DNC is spreading on Democrats. Don't they want to keep the base what it is, diverse, young, progressive? Don't they want to keep that? And they're doing corrupt shit. They're doing hood rat shit. Doing some straight up hood rat shit. And you're gonna turn a lot of blues. Not in the red, but maybe green. You know what? Maybe they could...
Definitely green.
Yeah.
That's what we need, is a Green Party candidate. That's what we fucking need, is a reasonable Green Party. Maybe Mark Cuban, I think. I don't know.
What do you think of Jill Stein?
No, I don't.
Whoa,
no,
that's a dismissive no.
Let's go back to what you were talking about, though. And you're not going to like to hear this. I know you're not. But you just touched on it, and you were definitely onto something. The liberals in this country have painted themselves into a corner. They have painted themselves into the corner with the policies that they choose to endorse and that they hardline themselves on. And this is what's happened. Just like you said, you got a lot of blues who are saying, fuck, man, I mean, I don't really like what the Republicans got going on. I don't really like, but these feminists over here, they're just crazy. You know, they're just crazy with these equal pay bills. I mean, it's too much. It's more government getting in the way. I mean, you can't go too far in any direction. That's the problem here, because that's when things get radical, is when you go too far left or you go too far right. That's when things get radical, and people aren't doing that. I don't want to have a hard stance on every single topic and have to go on my team, you know, my far liberal, my far conservative team. I don't want to do this shit, and they've fucked themselves in that, and they're going to lose some votes to Trump because of that, because people don't trust Hillary. They don't really trust Trump, but they really don't trust Hillary, and they know that there's some shady ass shit going on there. I mean, it's craziness. It's just, she's just a career politician. So liberals got some really hard decisions to make at this point. They got to decide what's important to them. Do they really care about free speech, or do they want to be the judge of what is considered hate speech, and then what won't be tolerated? I mean, because here's the thing with the First Amendment, man. The First Amendment is the First Amendment, okay? It's the right to free speech. Anybody is allowed to say whatever they want.
But that was before a word like nigger was considered disgusting, hateful, because that's what you called black people at that time, and it was totally fine.
Mm-hmm. But society has decided now that that's not a good word to use. So we don't need a law that says you can't use the N-word unless you're black or a rapper. We don't need that. We've all decided that that's not a word we're going to use. We don't like that one. We don't. I mean, yeah, there's some people that will, but in general, the society has decided that is a word we're not going to use. But if you want to be an idiot and use that word, that should be your right. And no one should come and tell you that's hate speech. I don't like that. If you don't want to hear what that person has to say, then don't listen to them. Don't listen to their shit. Okay. And everybody and on this, in this country will be judged in the court of public opinion. Okay. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but you will be judged by what you say in the court of public opinion. And you can say whatever you want, but if you're going to say some bullshit, people are going to say, no, this is some bullshit here, and you're fucking crazy, and you're a racist, and we don't want to support this or be any part of this. I mean, you will be judged. And people say, we can't judge people. Yes, we can judge people. In fact, we need to judge people. And that's what public opinion does. And again, that's why people around here aren't using the N-word, because we've all decided that's not a word we need to use. Nobody needs to use that word. Okay. Should it be against the law? Should a police officer write you a ticket if you use the N-word? I don't think so. But we've already moved on. We've decided it's not good to use that. You gotta defend. Free speech is so important, man, because that's what scares me about Trump is, you know, these news people that don't go along with him. He just degrades them and just belittles them and makes them feel subhuman. And it's like, you can't do that. You need a free press. You need to be willing to let people say some negative shit about you. That's got to be part of the game. We got to see this from both sides. There's two sides to almost every story, and we got to see them if we're going to come to the most logical conclusion. Oh man, jump in there. My throat's going to dry out here. Just getting into this Trump talk.
He wants to, he proposed this. He wants to ban the, I mean, not ban. He wants to fine the media every time they put out like false reports or false information.
Yeah, but who's going to determine this? Who's making this decision?
Maybe the FCC?
No, probably wants to be some of his attorneys, probably. No one fucking Trump. It's, yeah, you just, we got to defend free speech, guys. Free speech is important. The whole Second Amendment thing, I don't fucking know about that, but free speech is important, man. We can't have people censoring their thoughts. You know, there's certain thoughts out there that need to stay on the individual level, but if people have something that they feel is important and that they need to say, they need to be able to say it. And that's what free speech is all about, is people who have a little something on their chest and are concerned and need to be heard and need to say it. We all have that right. Again, once it comes out of your mouth, then you're responsible for whatever comes from that, good or bad. But you're allowed to come with whatever you want, whatever you deem important. So, and we can't, and both these candidates kind of scare me as far as that goes. I think that could both be under pressure. Because look at, obviously Clinton's got some pulse here. She's obviously the AP. She's obviously in there. She's got a little something going on there. So, she's just fucking terrified. And it's like, if she fucks this thing up, dude, I'm never going to let women hear the end of this. And I'm worried
don't
for them.
Do that.
I'm worried for them. They're hitching their wagon up again to the wrong person. I'm all for a female president. It might be a nice change, but this is not the one. This is not the one. What are you going vertical there?
Yeah.
Look at this thing. This versatile.
What is your
there you go.
Issue with Jill Stein?
Who's Jill Stein? I don't even know who that is.
The Green Party candidate.
I don't know a lot about her, to be honest. I mean, I'll do some research since you brought it up. And I like the Green Party. I mean, Ralph Nader, he, again, not a guy that had a ton of charisma, but he's a smart guy. That guy did some stuff. The cars that we drive now are much safer than they were back in the 60s and 70s because of Ralph Nader, specifically because of that one person. I mean, he made an impact. You know, you were talking about earlier changing the game and making an impact. Ralph Nader never got to be president, but he made an impact, dude. He did something. So I like the Green Party. I've said it before on this program, and I'm going to say it again. 325 million people in this country, and we got to choose between two criminals? What the fuck?
I keep telling my hardcore liberal friends that don't be surprised if Hillary loses or Sanders beats her. I'm sorry, if Sanders loses just by hair.
Yeah. Well, and he still, that's the crazy thing, is he's still won 20 states. And maybe even more. It might have been a couple more than 20. He still won 20 states. Even against when they had already stacked the deck against him. He still pulled that shit off. And so who knows? Maybe some of those contests, maybe he should have won and it was close. And they're like, we had 3,500 votes for Hillary from Gabba Dabba Gabba County in northern Alabama. So, Hillary got it. It was just enough to get her over the hump. Sorry, Bernie, good try. But, that was an all-or-nothing state, too. That was an all-or-nothing state on delegates. So, sorry, Bernie. We got nothing for you there, pal. But go ahead and get ready for Missouri. Who knows? Oh, they might like you there.
Only time can tell what's going to happen at the DNC. But hey, don't be surprised if Sanders beats her or loses barely, or he may just sneak in.
The corruption at the top 1% of the 1%. They need to pay 90% on their taxes. All right, and there's the bankers and the Wall Streeters.
You did not say 1%.
I know. I love Bernie, man. This is why I wish he would have been able to beat Hillary, is because I think he has a way. I think he would have won a landslide against Trump, a fucking landslide. Even I think a lot of conservatives even been like, you know what? I'm not a big fan of either of these two, but even though his hair is really crazy, his ideas are actually pretty realistic, and they'd be talking about Bernie. I really think they would. So Hillary, it's like they're like, oh god, we're not. Like, she's fucking scary, man. She's scary. She's gonna get us into World War III. And like I said,
oh, that's
and
Trump.
Like I said, well, either of them are a good candidate for that. But like I said, I'm never gonna let girls let this one down. I'm not gonna let them live it down. Fucking A, ladies. I saw some reviews for Ghostbusters too.
Oh man, come on, don't.
There's another feather in the cap for feminism. Oh, well done, ladies. Well done. Actually, no, you know what? It's probably more male producers and executives on that movie than women, I bet. It's probably more white knights.
God, you're such a sexist.
In the design room. Oh, God. It's spoiler alert. The final creature, the marshmallow man, to kill him, they shoot him in the balls. They shoot him in his balls, and then he ends up killing him. So that's a microcosm for the entire movie, really. It's screw you guys. You're assholes. Misogynists.
You know a man directed this.
That's why I just told you, man. There's probably all the producers. They're probably all white guys who are under 5'7". White guys who are rich and under 5'7". Guaranteed. Just a bunch of white knights.
White knights. Shit. Oh, man.
I guarantee. Social justice warriors all the way across. Ugh. It's fucking dog shit, man. Girls don't need to kick ass, okay?
Yeah, they
That's
do.
That's not their job.
Yes, why?
Because we don't need girls to kick ass. They're
why
supposed
not?
To be, they're supposed to be more reasonable than that. They're supposed to be level-headed, not go nuts, not always be wanting to fight and do crazy shit like that. That's what guys do.
No, we
don't need girls to kick ass.
Why do you believe in gender roles?
Because that's what's worked for thousands of years.
Yeah, because of that, women have gotten negative stereotypes. Oh, go make me a sandwich. The only clock you see is on the oven. Shit, this bullshit like that, man.
That's.
Hey, slavery was working fine for white folks for a long time until Abraham Lincoln got in office, and it was working well for lazy white folks.
Women have become progressively less happy for like four decades now straight. Have become less happy. And in my opinion, that is because of the feminist movement. Like, they don't even know exactly what their goal is. They want equality, but the problem is a lot of women don't acknowledge the benefits that they receive in life. They don't acknowledge these at all. They just brush them under the rug, and therefore you look at all the bad stuff and you think that you've been victimized and you leave all the good stuff out. I mean, I was talking to my neighbor, and he was telling me about this restaurant that down the road that this really pretty girl used to work at. Really good looking girl. Very nice too. Always nice to the old guys. You know, she'd take care of them anytime they went in, just a little breakfast joint. And this old man that used to go in there, he'd go in there all the time. Not every time, but every third, fourth time he'd go in there, he would tip this girl $100. I mean, this girl was pretty, had a good attitude, and she was raking dough. Okay, raking dough. There was one day she gave him $1,000 tip because she was going to quit her job. She was moving on. She'd been going to school, and she finally got, she was going to be like a dental assistant or whatever, and she was quitting, and he gave her $1,000 tip. Do you think a man would ever get $1,000 tip from anybody if he was a waiter?
Maybe.
Even if he did just as good of a job?
Maybe a lonely woman.
No, that would not happen. Come on.
Yeah,
that
would not happen.
Maybe he'd get a C note from time to time if he was a top notch. But it would not happen, man. The women, people who are working part-time hours, the chicks are making more. The women are making more money than the guys. And this all gets left out of the statistics. I just don't think it's making women happy. I don't think they're more happy because of this. I think women are, when you look around the world, in the United States, doing pretty damn good. Doing pretty damn good. And this country's been doing pretty damn good because they have been doing pretty damn good. So I can't get too stuck on this, man. It's, if you want to feel like you're a victim, there's always going to be somebody out there who will victimize you. But I think women are doing great, especially the Asian ones. They're doing better than
Shut
anybody.
Shut up.
Oh, dude, fuck you. Asian privilege is a thing, dude. Fuck you. You think it's white privilege? No, it's Asian. It's Asian. And I'll say it's privilege, but they earned it, though. They earned it, all right? These guys work their asses off. They got degrees at a way higher percentage than any other race. White, black, Latino, everybody. Asians are getting way more degrees, and they're kicking ass. And they're keeping their mouth shut, and they're doing it quietly. And that's why they're continuing to have success. Because talk is cheap. It's all about that action. Get out there and make it happen, boss. Marshawn Lynch. May he rest in peace as a Seahawk.
Oh, I'm about to say, when did he die?
He didn't die. He's alive and doing well. He's doing well. I saw a video of him the other day at the camp. He knocked some white kid over who thought he was the shit. He's like, please, bitch. He went exhibit on him. Bitch, please, you must have a mental disease.
He said that?
No, he didn't. But he put him on his, not on his knees, but he put him on his back. He put him on his back, though, you know. He showed that kid what was up, so. Yeah, man, it's just ladies, you're doing great, okay? Just don't let yourself feel like you're worse than us. You're doing great, all right? You're doing great.
They don't want to feel that way. Y'all make them feel that way.
And you keep working hard, and you're going to continue to do great, all right? We're not going to hold you back. You guys are doing awesome. Women in their 30s and their 20s are making more than men, okay? Look at, she was a little bit out of her, she was in her later 30s, but look at your ex. She was killing it. She was killing it. She's probably making twice as much as you.
Now she is.
do you think that she's feeling it hard with the wage gap? Huh? Do you think it's really affecting her? Does she need equal pay? Should we bring her down to match your pay?
As a matter of fact, she has feminist point of views. And at her old job, at the old company she used to work for, this guy who's, she's been in the business. She's been in that line of work for about 5 years, and this guy who's been in the business for a year makes more than her, and they are the same position. The same position.
Yeah, but there's more factors though. We don't know where he was at before. We don't know how much total experience he has. I mean, listen, man. Like I said, she was doing better than you. I went hiking today. Kicked my ass with a buddy of mine. He's got a good job. He's making, if not close to, six figures. His now wife is 26 years old, and she makes more money than him.
What does she do?
She makes more money than him. I don't know. She works at Amazon. That's all I know. I don't know.
Oh, was it the buddy that we're at watching the NBA Finals? They live in Bothell?
Yes, that is the one.
Well, I believe
good memory. Good memory.
Yeah.
26 years old, dude. He's making almost six figures, and she's doing better than him. She's making more money.
Yeah. Well, she
26, and she's fucking killing it. Do you think she needs equal pay? I mean, you're doing great, ladies, okay? Don't let anybody tell you any different. Second you stop believing it, then you're going to fall into the trap, and you're not going to be happy. And I'm telling you, man, the girls are less happy these days. Less happy. You let them, you tell them, oh, you're beautiful, right? No matter how you look. You're beautiful. So what? You got a few extra pounds, and your heart rate's a little higher than it should be. You're a beautiful person. No, it doesn't make you happy, okay? Fat shaming works. And I heard that from a guy who lost 100 pounds. A fellow comedian. Lost 100 pounds. He lost 40% of his body weight. And he told me fat shaming works. You can only get called tubby so many times before you go out there and take a walk.
Oh, my God. Okay. Just saying. All right.
I'm on one here.
Yeah, you're on a roll. Okay, last subject for tonight. Last subject, we're going to talk about what happened in South Beach, Miami, or it happened in the north side of Miami. James Kinsey.
North side.
James Kinsey, the behavioral therapist who has an autistic patient. The autistic patient had a toy gun on him. And then the cops come and they get a report of a man with a toy gun. I mean, with a gun in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a toy truck.
Toy truck.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, James Kinsey lays on his back with his hands up and explains the situation to the cops. I'm a behavioral therapist. This is my patient who was sitting Indian style and with the truck right by him.
That's a problem.
What?
That's a threatening position. Crisscross applesauce?
I don't. Yeah, crisscross.
The equivalent, yeah.
But anyway, the behavioral therapist who's black said, I'm a behavioral therapist. This is my patient. He ran away from the building, and he has his hands up. And the police officer shot the behavioral therapist. According to the behavioral therapist in the hospital, he did survive, by the way. This one survived. He asked the officer, sir, why did you shoot me? And the cop said, I don't know. The next day, they found out that the behavioral therapist was not the original threat. The patient was. And they said the shooting was accidental. They tried to shoot the autistic patient. So, if he wasn't a threat, why did he get handcuffed? And why did you still try to shoot at the behavioral therapist when... I'm sorry, why did you try to shoot at the autistic patient when Charles Kinsey told you, hey, he is my patient?
Well, you know how much those patients are costing taxpayers every year? I mean, that shit's not cheap, man.
No,
we try to cut some expenses wherever possible.
Okay, look, I know you...
This story's fucked up, man. This story's fucked up. And...
Nope.
I mean, luckily, like you said, luckily the guy, luckily he made it through. I mean, luckily he didn't die at least, so that's good. But it's fucked. This guy's going to lose his job, and he's probably going to go through some sort of prosecution, I'm sure.
You know? I hope he goes to jail.
He'll probably do a little bit of jail time. We'll see. But again, you got to let these situations work themselves out. It was bad, but we'll see. We'll see if the justice system does its job and punishes him correctly, but at least the guy made it through it again. And on a positive note, he's going to be getting a fat check. He's going to be getting a fat check from the county, so he'll be set at least.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap this up, I want to get in, not for 15 minutes, but make it brief. I remember you posting on my personal Facebook page that, you know, hey, give these guys a break. They have a hard job.
I just said don't forget. I just said don't forget.
You said don't forget.
Don't forget that they have a tough job.
Okay. You know who else has tough jobs? Doctors, lawyers, teachers.
I don't have any sympathy for lawyers. Teachers, okay. I definitely have sympathy for.
Okay. Say you're sick. You have to go to the hospital. You have to go to a doctor. He prescribes you. But he overdoses his prescription. You get more sick. You could die. But hey, you survive. You survived. And, you know, doctors, they, you know, they're high paying, but, you know, they put in, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Just like police officers.
Well, you got to do a shit ton of school, too.
Are you gonna not forget that he has a hard job, too?
No, I think you definitely have to keep that in mind. I mean, yeah, and a lot of times those surgeries, I think this is gonna sound like a joke, but that penis transplant they did recently, the guy who had to go to surgery, they did like an 11 or 12 hour surgery, and they started it at like 10 o'clock at night. So you're a doctor, you got to be operating on this patient, trying to keep this guy from dying for like 10 hours straight. So there's no question that's a tough job. But malpractice is a big issue these days, though, in this country, man. I mean, that's like, I heard somewhere that's like the second or third leading cause of death in this country. Whether it's over, like you said, over prescribing medication or whatnot. You know, maybe giving something that's addictive that they get on, hooked onto, and they fucking spirals out of control. Or, you know, just doing something bad in surgery, this and that, and going that way. So, and again, you like you said, you're right though. It's a tough job, so you have to have a certain amount of leniency for these people. I mean, as long as they're not intentionally trying to harm people. I mean, if they're doing that, then yeah, we have to use the law here and do what's right. But people are going to fuck up in whatever business they're in, and being a doctor, that's a business, and there's going to be some people that fuck up sometimes. It's fucked, and we got to try to stop it, but we're never going to completely stop it.
Yeah, but lawyers, doctors, and police officers, the lives of other people are in their hands a lot of times. They knew that. When people wanted to be lawyers, they knew that. They knew that it was a highly stressful job.
Mm-hmm.
You work.
That's why you get a lot of alcoholics. A lot of lawyers that are alcoholics out there.
Yeah. You're going to work more than the average, typical,
oh, yeah, especially your 40
hours
years
a week. Doctors, same thing. Highly stressful job, but you got to remain level-headed. Same thing with police officers. They knew that their life would change. You got to go through. How long is training? 3 months?
I think probably around there, maybe a little bit longer.
3 months,
mm-hmm.
And it's grueling. It will psychologically too. You know, if a doctor does any type of malpractice, they go to jail.
Do they go to jail?
Dude,
I think it's possible, depending on how severe the case is.
Yeah.
But I think more or less it's like a lot of settlements.
When I think of that, I think
court
of
settlements,
I think of
like
Michael Jackson's old doctor, the one that over.
It, but if you're going to overprescribe somebody, yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, it's not that you made a mistake during that procedure. You told them to take the wrong amount of whatever drug that was that they were taking. You specifically gave them advice that was not only detrimental to their health, but caused them to become deceased. So, yeah, you're definitely held accountable for that. But like you're talking about the police, I don't think me and you can understand exactly how it is when you're in that situation. You know, when you're in that ride along, when you're pulling somebody over, it's late at night. You don't know what to expect when you're walking in that car. You smell some kind of the aroma of drugs or something. You got to investigate. You got to say, hey, sir, can you step out of the car? Somebody gets a little agitated. Well, step out of the car. Why? I didn't break no law. I didn't do nothing. You know, they start getting agitated. They're getting a level. And then at some point become aggressive with you. I mean, when you feel that your life is on the line and you have a pistol right on your waist, there's going to come a point in a struggle where you're going to go that route, man.
Even if the subject doesn't have a gun,
if they get your gun, though, man?
Hold on. I was about to say that if they grab your gun, all bets are off. Do what you got to do to survive.
It might be too late at that point, though. If they got your gun, it's probably too late.
If they're going for it, if
they knocked you over, punched you, got you on your side, and they're on their feet still, and you're on the ground. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that every police officer should get away with shooting somebody. Okay, I think every situation again needs to go through the hopeful proper vetting of the and strict overseeing of the legal system, but I just think that you have to have a little bit of leniency for these people. Their job every single day is to go investigate problem situations. Hey, somebody was being an asshole. Someone's fucking up. Somebody's slapping his wife around. Somebody's flashing a gun. We need you to check this out. And do me a favor, stay level-headed and, you know, don't do anything irrational, all right? I mean, all day, that's all they're doing is just going and investigating some bullshit all day long. Again, I would never be a career police officer. Never. You're just always in shit. Always in shit. You're in shit or you're doing paperwork. Or you're at the fucking donut shop. Oh, boom! Diss on the cops.
You know why I think people have a lot more sympathy for cops than doctors, lawyers, and teachers? You know why? Because unlike doctors and lawyers,
they don't want to get shot.
There is such thing as having respect for police officers and wanting officers to be held accountable for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
but you got to let the court system work itself out.
Before you
burn the city down. You got to let the court system work itself out. It takes time to get all the facts and gather all the evidence and see what really went on. You know, it takes time to compile all that stuff.
You know, the system is broken because, like, police officers have unions. Unions have lawyers. They're good lawyers, mm-hmm. Really.
Well, the problem is the DAs are, you know, they just don't go for indictment. The DAs know a lot of these police officers. They see them all the time, especially when they're smaller cases of stuff that's not quite as critical, but they see these people all the time. And so they're like on first name terms. And that's the problem is when you're in good with those people, you're going to give them a little extra leniency. So, but
anyway,
here's the thing too. If you're going to burn the city down, go like two neighborhoods over. Okay. Don't burn down your neighborhood Walgreens. Go to the nice white neighborhood and burn their Walgreens down. All right, you know it's going to be covered. The people will find somewhere else. They'll go to PCC or Whole Foods to shop, and they'll build a new one. Don't destroy your own neighborhood. I mean, come on, it's not helping anybody.
If they tear down the white neighborhood, they're all getting shot. Have you noticed that? They burnt down Baltimore. Those white cops didn't give a shit. But if they went up to the north side of Baltimore, they're all getting shot.
Mm-hmm. But what if they had shot those people in Baltimore, though? What happens in the situation if a couple rioters and building burner downers start getting shot? Then where does it go from there? Where does it go from there? Once a couple rioters get shot, I mean, it's going to all fucking hell could break loose. And again, that's the problem with all this surveillance and all them watching is they're a lot more hesitant to do things now. They're a lot more hesitant to take action when they need to. And even police officers are scared. So everybody's just a little tense. And the problem with all this is that everybody starts looking at each other a little bit differently. Just a little bit differently. Like, every once in a while when I see a black person, I just try to smile and, you know, maybe give a little eyebrow. Like, hey, you know, something like that. Maybe a hi. Nothing too crazy. But there's just this little bit of tension recently when I see black people. And I'm like, and I'm almost scared I'm going to do something wrong. And we don't want that. We don't need that. That's not good for anybody. That helps none of us. And so we got to do something that goes the opposite way from that. We need less tension. I mean, I heard a story of this black girl who was in a convenience store with a couple of cops were in there. She went in, went down this aisle. One of the cops, white cop, followed her. And he asked her, hey, she's a young black girl. He asked her, hey, how you doing? And she goes, you know, I'm tired. And he looked her straight in the face and he goes, yeah, I know. I'm pretty tired right now, too. And the girl started crying. And they ended up sharing a hug. A long hug.
What I was saying was, I think the reason people have...
That's sweet, but...
Well, you fucking interrupted me, so I was like, okay, I'm going to let this fucking prick finish. Anyway, what I was saying is, I think the reason people have more respect and more compassion is for police officers that they're middle class. Unless you run a fucking precinct, you're making
a solid 45, 50.
Exactly. That's middle class. Mm-hmm. So a lot of middle class white people, they live in decent neighborhoods, and you'll find a cop living in that neighborhood. Everyone knows his name, you know, and he knows everyone else's name. You know, he can relate to common folk. He can relate to common folk. He's not a doctor. He's not a lawyer. He doesn't own yachts. He just
wants to see peace and calm in the community.
Yeah.
Like all their other residents.
Yeah.
And he's just the one that's in charge of enforcing it and making sure that it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want to get in those situations. He doesn't want to be drawn his gun. They would rather not deal with that bullshit. But unfortunately, it's part of the job. So I don't know. And you're right. People do have more compassion than they do for those other people. But I think you're right. I think the pay is part of that. Because doctors, I mean, those guys have a tough job, no question. Their hours are shitty and all that stuff. But a lot of doctors are making some fucking cash.
And same thing with lawyers. Common folk cannot relate to doctors and lawyers. They're living...
Their money's long.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see cops live in fucking south in North Seattle where common folk live. Doctors,
I love hearing you say that.
Common folk.
The old regular white folks.
Yeah. I'm trying to be politically correct here. Yeah. And you got the doctors and lawyers living in Woodinville and Kirkland. So.
Yeah.
Over on the east side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We were just talking about, I was just talking about that earlier with somebody. I don't know. It's fucked, man. I mean, we just, like I said, we all need to calm down. If we just treat each other with respect, okay. You can have your hate speech if you want, but you're going to fucking hear it. All right? You're going to hear it. You're going to be judged by people, and they're going to know it's your piece of shit.
Okay. So
just be nice to everybody. That's all we need to do. Just all be nice to everybody, and that's most important, and I say it all the time, but I truly mean it. But speaking of nice, man, I got to say, it's been really nice the last 39 weeks. Actually, probably closer to 45, to be honest, hanging out here and being friends with you, man. You know, we've had a good run here, but... You had a little bit of big news this week, and
yeah,
your life's taking a shift here, isn't it?
Yes. I've enjoyed my time in Seattle with you, the listeners, everyone I've met here, my new friends, Slim here. When I started this project, this was originally my idea. I have no idea where it would lead me. I started doing this for fun because I was in another line of work, and my first love has always been broadcasting and radio and television. And I started this podcast, met this crazy fucker. We turned out to be really good friends, and we've been doing this 39 weeks straight. This rekindled my love for broadcasting, and what I've always wanted to do was be a sports anchor. And about 2 months ago, I started getting back in the hunt to do that, a sports anchor for a TV station. And I am happy to say that early last week, I accepted a job with WTOK TV in Meridian, Mississippi as their new weekend sports anchor and sports reporter during the week. So the next show will be my last show for now as a co-host. Slim will continue to carry the torch for an earful in Emerald City. He has not picked up his new co-host yet.
Mm-hmm. I figured I'd wait for Hillary to decide who she was going to pick as a running mate, and then I'd announce it, you know.
Well,
I didn't want her stealing any of my thunder.
That's true. I've had a blast. I will continue to come on the show for bits and segments.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna keep you involved, man. But that's crazy, man. You're going to be the on-air guy.
Yeah.
This guy's 15 minutes of fame.
And I promise I will not suck in front of the camera like I do in front of the microphone. I know.
Oh, man. Hey,
For our listeners, thanks for putting up with me, because I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes in front of the microphone. But I promise, you know, I'm so much better than I was 39 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've come a long way, man.
Yeah,
come a long way. I can't believe it's almost been a year. I mean, we're creeping up on a year. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I'm better at talking about sports than I am politics. And
that's true. Sports is your strong suit, no question. I mean, you'll hold a convo with the best of them. So. Yeah, no, I mean, hey, we stayed at it, man. You did what you could, and you got to take this opportunity. So
yeah, the plan is to
proud
come back,
of you, though, big guy.
The plan is to come back to Seattle. I with me being a rookie in this line of work, I have very little experience. The only experience I have in front of the camera was my time as a sports reporter at Angelo State University, the college I went to, and that was it. This is a good opportunity for me. I'm taking a big fucking pay cut, but it's going to be worth it down the line. Hopefully you'll be seeing me on King 5, Como, Cairo, or Last Resort, Q13 Fox. Mm-hmm. hopefully a few years. I'm hoping it won't take that long for me to get back up here, because I love Seattle. I love the culture. I love the people here. I met a really good guy in front of me. I got a dream to catch. I've been wanting to do this since I was 17, when I couldn't play football anymore. This became my goal when the shot of me getting in the NFL, when that was taken away from me, I decided to do this. And I, after getting fired from two radio stations, leaving on bad terms with one, getting fired from a TV station, getting fired from a football team as their media relations guy, all that happened, all that firing, getting laid off, and burning bridges happened within a 4 year span, and 2 years. Yeah. In 2 years I got out, for 2 years I got out of broadcasting. I was just like, fuck it. I never said this, but I'm going to say it now, but I was a manager for a grocery store company. I'm not going to say that, but hey, I was a manager for a grocery store company. I'm not going to say which one. And then that didn't work out, and then I just became a regular grocery stalker for another grocery store company, and I was getting they were paying me $20 an hour to stock groceries until I found out my next move and got a job as an editor at one of the news stations here. Not going to say. And me and my girlfriend broke up, and that opened more doors for me. It was kind of a blessing in disguise, because I can now move, because she would never move from Seattle to where the fuck I'm moving now.
Yeah.
Only me would do that. But it all worked out. It's crazy. Hey, if you got dreams, don't ever give up on them, because I never expected this to happen. When I first moved here, I never thought I'd get back into broadcasting. Never. Never. And The last time I got fired in the broadcasting position, I was like, fuck it. Fuck it. I got to find a plan C. Plan C. Going to the NFL was plan A, and then I got that viral infection, and then plan B was being a sports anchor. But hey, being a sports anchor was something I really, really wanted to do. I didn't, you know, being a manager for a grocery store, that was plan C.
Not quite as thrilling. Yeah. Well, yeah, man, like you said, you got an opportunity here, and you got to do what you got to do, man. And I love the motivational stuff, you know, because the only way to make sure your dreams don't come true is to give up on chasing them. That's the only way to make sure. So you just got to get out there and do it. And like you said, you didn't think you'd be here. Put in a little hard work. Put up with some bullshit. Paid some dues. Here you are, man. And like you said, hopefully this won't be it. I don't think this is going to be it for you either. I think you'll be back around in the Emerald City at some point.
I told you, man. That's the goal.
You got to put in a little bit of time.
I have my connections with one of the stations.
And if you're leaving on good terms, so, you know.
Yeah, the first broadcasting station / company I'm leaving with on good terms, ladies and gentlemen.
Progress. There you go. See, and it leaves the door open for you coming back. So,
yeah.
So no, yeah, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you, man. And hey, we've set out to do essentially all we wanted to at this point. So, you know, I'd say it wasn't a complete failure. I don't know. What do you guys think? Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. No, just kidding, man. But hey, we got to wrap this thing up. But hey, one more episode with the big guy here. So yeah, we'll be sad to see him leave. But again, it won't be the end here. And we're going to get him in. We'll have him do some call-in segments here. And we'll definitely keep it involved. So fear not, everybody. He will still be around. And so will I. But not any longer on this fucking episode. Because we are going to wrap it up. So hey, if you guys... thanks for listening to us. Earful in the Emerald City. Slim and Shoddy here. Shoddy won't be around too much longer, but we've enjoyed him here. And we've enjoyed you guys and hopefully enjoying us. So thank you guys for listening. If you guys enjoyed it, do us a favor and maybe just tell a friend and say, hey, give it a shot, you guys. You know, I know it sounds kind of silly, but who knows? They're kind of funny. But thank you guys for listening. Earful in the Emerald City. We appreciate it. Listen, I'll keep you guys posted. I'm going to keep things moving here. So I just got to make a few hard decisions myself, like the liberals and the left-wingers these days. But we'll make it happen, guys. And thank you again for listening. I am Slim.
And I am Shoddy. And we are out.
See you.